John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is tie is this, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Wednesday, February 15, 2012. Palestinians on hunger strike as Khadr Adnan keeps his fast for the 60th day. Meanwhile, the Gaza Strip in a power blackout for lack of fuel. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. Dozens of Palestinians declared a hunger strike in support of the Palestinian prisoner Khadr Adnan, who is on his 60th day of fasting. Palestinian medical sources said that Adnan is facing death if not treated properly, as many of his main organs, including his heart and stomach, are in very bad shape. A report by Physicians for Human Rights stated that Adnan's health is seriously deteriorating and that he might die at any moment, as his immunity system is not functional anymore. Hundreds of Palestinians took to the streets in a number of West Bank towns and cities in support of Adnan, while a number of Palestinians protested at Ofer military jail near Ramallah. Troops fired tear gas and metal bullets at protesters. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, a member of Palestinian parliament, was wounded with a metal bullet to his foot. Adnan was kidnapped from his home on December 17, 2011, and was placed under administrative detention. He declared hunger strike the day after, demanding his immediate release. In other news, Palestinian media sources said that 8 Palestinians have been kidnapped overnight across the occupied West Bank. Israeli forces detained a young man from his home in Salem village east of Nablus. Israeli soldiers broke into the house of Abdulrahman Shteya, 22, a student at the Najah University in Nablus, and kidnapped him. 2 other brothers were kidnapped in Tubas near Jenin. The 2 were identified as Musharraf and Ashraf Abu Salama. In the meantime, Israeli forces kidnapped 3 Palestinians in Hebron in the southern West Bank. The kidnapped were identified as Mohammed Jnaidi, Hamdan Taha from Hebron, and Hayal Attal, 57 years old, from the nearby Al-Dahriya town. The Gaza Strip's only power station, which supplies the Palestinian coastal region with up to 2/3 of its energy, was shut down on Tuesday because of shortage of fuel from Egypt. The shortage led to widespread blackout for nearly 1.5 million Palestinians who live in Gaza. The local power company warned that households would receive only 6 hours of electricity a day until the problem is solved. Gaza's energy authority said measures taken on the Egyptian side of the border meant not enough fuel was entering the territory, however, did not provide further details. Hospitals, water supply stations, and sewage water processing stations will seriously suffer from this blackout, which can be life-threatening to hundreds of patients in Gaza hospitals. That's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, February 15th, daily roundup news from the occupied Palestinian territories. We hope you will join us again tomorrow. This has been brought to you by Hassan Kassis and me, George Ishmael.
Afghanistan reported yesterday. Tajikistan's defense ministry reported that one of its helicopters crashed in Afghanistan, killing four Air Force officers while performing a support operation for the occupation. Afghanistan last Friday. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from an insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Monday. The Taliban claims to have blown up a NATO vehicle, killing all personnel on board in Sabari District Coast. The NATO press office in eastern Afghanistan confirms the incident, but denies the claim of casualties from the Taliban. Maybe this just means mercenaries instead of NATO troops were killed? Afghanistan, Sunday. A judge was assassinated in Nangarhar Province. Mohammad Nasir was head of the appeals court in Kunar Province until his car was ambushed Sunday on the way home from visiting relatives and everyone inside killed. Afghanistan, 1 week ago, a snitch told lies to U.S. intelligence officials, giving them the targets for an airstrike that killed 7 children and a teenager. One of the villagers, a police chief in a nearby district, lost his 12-year-old son, Ajmal, and 2 nephews, ages 9 and 11. The police officer, Abdul Zahid, described the area as deeply poor with almost no services of any kind. Quote, "We don't have paved roads, a school, or a clinic in Gowana," he said. "There's almost 1 meter of snow here in our village, and we send our children to take care of the goats and sheep and feed them and collect firewood from the trees nearby, bring it home so we can heat our homes. On February 8th, when the bombing happened, the children had gone as usual to the grazing area outside the village. They had just finished letting the animals graze and had made a small fire to keep warm when they were bombed," he said. Quote, "Suddenly some airplanes came and dropped bombs on the children and killed my son, my 2 nephews, and some other children from the village," said Mr. Zahid. "When we went there, we saw the children in pieces, some missing legs, some missing arms. Only the head and face could be recognized, nothing else. Mr. Barack Obama, now's the time to pull U.S. troops, contractors, and special forces out of all of the Middle East. Bring them home today." This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com. From the 9th to the 11th of February, the Conservative Political Action Committee, or CPAC, met at the Woodley Park Marriott. On the 10th and the 11th of February, they received 3 protests from both unions and Occupy protesters. The protests were at noon and 5 p.m. on the 10th and all day on the 11th. At the noon protest, nearly 1,000 union and Occupy activists ignored police lines and climbed the hilly main driveway, getting maybe two-thirds of the way to the main doors before they were stopped by police. They retreated when police threatened arrests, only to block the feed instead, effectively corking up both main driveways for the next hour. Meanwhile, a small team got inside.
Just back from CPAC.
Okay.
We went to watch Romney's speech in one of the spillover rooms.
It was pretty all right. We got up silently, took off our shirts, revealing the shirts now before you, silently. We put tape over our mouths, and we exposed our hands to make sure that we were not carrying any weapons. Apparently, this is not valid conduct inside CPAC.
What happened inside?
Well, let's talk about what happened inside. It was awesome. We stood there in silence.
What's your name?
Laurentia. Yes, we stood there in silence, but our voices were heard. It was powerful. And they decided they didn't like it, so they wanted us out. But our message definitely got across.
What did they do when they wanted you out?
They asked us to leave, but because we didn't want violence, we walked out. But then they began to push some of us as we left out because they were frustrated with us. But at least we know that our point got across.
Yeah!
Because they wanted to stop us from coming back again, but that's not going to stop us. Some of the security people from the wardman from the hotel, they were frustrated with us and they were pushing some of the guys out.
They mad.
Our hands were up in the air. We were non-violent. We did not push back or anything. We just left. But we did ask them to stop pushing because no one was being violent.
So
it was definitely unprovoked. Definitely. We are the 99%.
You do what they told you. The 5 p.m. protest on the 10th of February, 60 to 100 protesters slipped away and went up the back driveway towards the doors of the hotel. Soon it turned out that the Marriott security guards had plastic riot shields of unknown origin, and riot cops also with shields quickly showed up as well. The result was a scrum of cops and security roughly pushing protesters using their shields back down the hill.
All right, looks like CCPD has arrived and are coming out right now. You see people over here in the gift shop. A fight is... Things are getting really heated right now. The security and the police are now pushing on the protesters with shields. Light's a little low, but we just saw a heated confrontation between security with shields, police officers, and protesters. The protesters were being, I don't know how else to describe it, but shield bashed, where the security would bash them with the shields to push them forward. I don't know, not just pushing, but actually cocking the arms back and thrusting forward.
The next day, protesters gathered outside the Marriott, where CPAC was meeting. This time, cops lined the bottom of the driveway to block a third march on the doors. There were far fewer protesters, so security and CPAC wrongly thought they'd gotten a break. They were wrong. When Sarah Palin took the stage to speak, Occupy protesters started shouting, giving her the mic check treatment until they were escorted out of the room.
To borrow another phrase from our president, we can't wait. Our country hangs in the balance.
CPAC has been in Washington for about 40 years, but is increasingly attracting some of the same racist participants and events that used to be associated with the American Renaissance Conference, or AMREN, an explicitly racist suit and tie Nazi event that was stopped from meeting in D.C. back in 2010. One of CPAC's workshops was an explicit condemnation of multiculturalism, to which the alternative is explicit supremacy by one race, presumably that of the people condemning multiculturalism. They were, of course, of white European ancestry, so this has to be considered an outright white supremacist workshop at the Conservative Political Action Committee. Never have they been hit so hard by protesters as this year. Does this mean that CPAC will be the next Ameren, unable to find a venue anywhere near D.C.? Or does it mean Union and Occupy protesters are going to come down on the Republican National Convention like it was the spring meetings of the IMF and the World Bank 12 years ago? Will Tampa Bay, Florida, be the Occupy movement Seattle? On the 13th of February, members of Occupy D.C. paid back Congressman Daryl Issa for holding hearings on Occupy D.C. that led to police raids. They showed up at the offices of Merrill Lynch, one of his biggest sources of cash, with the intention of starting a new Occupy camp on that site. Two people were arrested after refusing to remove their tent. Here's what the two people who were arrested for sitting in the expendable tent and refusing to move had to say.
Oh, fun fact about Daryl Issa. Got his career start by stealing cars. Another fun fact about Daryl Issa is that he used his position in Congress, I believe it is, to steer public money to like streets, roads, and areas around the businesses that he owns.
Ooh.
Which is, that's a fun fact.
Yep.
Fun fact.
Talk about corruption.
Bought a hospital plaza for something like $10 million and then redirected $800,000 in earmarks to develop the roads there, and the property value went up by $6 million.
Between Daryl Issa and Merrill Lynch, that Daryl Issa has a huge amount of money invested here. He's an enormous supporter of Merrill Lynch and an enormous reason that Merrill Lynch is so successful, and that he is responsible largely for our eviction from McPherson Square. We're not happy with this guy.
Why are you continuing to stay in the town?
Well, because we should not be backing down in the face of adversity. We should be standing up and sitting. But, no, there's no reason that we should kowtow this one.
We still can't hear that.
Four minutes later, two folks you just heard were arrested for the civil disobedience. At its height, there have been a total of six Occupy tents set up in front of Merrill Lynch. The one the cops got was designated expendable and used for this mission. It took the cops an hour and a half just to think of a law they could use to order Occupy DC to remove the other five tents and face arrest for the expendable tent. No doubt they had visions that this would be the next Occupy DC camp, would last another 4 months, that there'd be 150 campers in front of Merrill Lynch, the whole ball of wax. Here is an update from the whale war being fought in the Southern Ocean between Sea Shepherd and the illegal whaling fleet from Japan. Two of the harpoon ships are busy chasing Sea Shepherd ships, while the third harpoon ship and the factory ship Nishan Maru are running like scared rats from Sea Shepherd and their drones in the air. They cannot escape being tracked by the drones. Paul Watson estimated a few days ago that the whalers would be lucky to have killed just 80 whales out of their quota of nearly 1,000, and the season is half over. On the 11th of February, Sea Shepherd crewman Beck Strausner from Hawaii was knocked from his jet ski into the freezing Southern Ocean by a direct hit from the water cannon on the harpoon ship Nishan Maru No. 2. The harpoon ship's captain refused to stop and rescue him in this life-threatening situation, a serious violation of maritime law. Fortunately, Beck was wearing a survival suit and managed to swim back to his jet ski and return to the ship alive. Beck's jet ski and three inflatable boats were trying to slow down the harpoon ship so the Steve Irwin could escape them and catch the Nishan Maru with help from the drone surveillance. If they know where the Nishan is, but the whalers do not know where the Steve Irwin is, Sea Shepherd can catch the factory ship and stop the third harpoon ship from killing any more whales.